It's Sunday morning. We're in London, Lizzie and I. It's just after 9 o'clock, and we are really thrilled to be beginning another Turning Towards Life conversation. And this morning we have an amazing piece written by Lizzie for us to read and talk about.
Hi, everybody. I'm in this moment, as Justin's speaking, really moved by the kind of messages we get about people who watch every Sunday. And there are people who also kind of watch sporadically, but there's some kind of rhythm that's being made by this for not just us, but for you who are watching and listening. And I just want to appreciate that and feel like we're all in this together somehow. And to know that you're there and to know that you're in receipt of this with us is really, really wonderful. I'm just feeling it in this moment and being grateful. Being very, very grateful for it. So we're going to begin. I'm going to read this poem, which I wrote at the weekend, just gone. It's called The Clearing. And actually, I want to make a nod to Sue Braithwaite in this, because her surname, Braithwaite, Sue is one of our partners in Third Space, and her surname, Braithwaite, means a clearing in the woods. And she was with me when I wrote this poem. So I guess in part I'd like to dedicate this to her for making that connection of Braithwaite and the clearing. So here we go. So I'm going to read it and then Justin, you read after me. So the clearing. As I get more honest, less defended, more open to another's reality, as they share from where only they can, as I cultivate willing acceptance in the moment, including more and more, even things that I thought were unacceptable. As I fuel my curiosity with open eyes and an open heart, my clearing appears for the content of my life to be held within it. And others are invited into the clearing for the content of their life to be held within it also.
The clearing. As I get more honest, less defended, more open to another's reality as they share from where only they can, as I cultivate willing acceptance in the moment, including more and more, even things that I thought were unacceptable, as I fuel my curiosity with open eyes and an open heart, my clearing appears for the content of my life to be held within it. And others are invited into the clearing for the content of their life to be held within it also.
Gosh, as usual, it's so interesting an experience to hear something read back. That feels like I know it. And yet to have it read back is to know it in a different feel, a different way. So Justin, I have a take on what this is about, but I'm curious as to what your feel of this poem is.
Mm. Yeah, I'm really happy to start. That's kind of you to ask that we might start there. Well, part of the background to this for me, and I'm guessing from what you said, Lizzie, about Sue's surname in bringing this up, that this is at least part of the imagery that's here for you, is this sense of what can happen in a clearing in a forest. Mm. And that when we find ourselves in the midst of a forest, which I think is mostly what our lives are like a lot of the time, that we're climbing and crashing our way through, and it's really easy to see what's here and to be frightened of what's far in the dark, but we don't know where we're going. Mm-hmm. Even when we say we know where we're going, on some level we know that where we're going is mostly unknowable. Mm-hmm. And we're doing our best to find our way through, unable to see very much about ourselves and unable to see very much about other people. But when we come into a clearing in the forest, it's going to sound funny to say it this way because it seems so obvious, so many things become clear.
Mm.
And some of the things that become clear are a kind of maybe where I am that I didn't know. You know, when you come into a clearing and you can see the mountains far off and you get how far away we are from the mountains. And but also in a clearing, when we arrive in a clearing with others, we see one another in a way that's really hard to see when we're in the midst of crashing our way through the forest.
Yeah.
And so one of the things that's happening here for me as I read your beautiful poem is that when we that to be in a clearing, and then you also have this strong sense in here of being a clearing for one another, but that to be in a clearing is both can be both illuminating, enlivening, refreshing. Oh my goodness, here I am. And it also has us look at things that we might not want to look at. Here I am. So there's a certain safety that comes from the frantic blundering our way through, and the clarity that comes from standing with one another in the open space where we can see where we stand in relationship to ourselves and in relationship to one another has this dual aspect of it's risky for us, it's vulnerable for us, and it's also incredibly life-giving for us, and it's hard for us, and it's necessary for us to find a way of cultivating this within us. And one last thing that's striking me, and we can be in conversation about this, is you say it at the start, is it takes us getting more honest and less defended and more open to one another. And sometimes I've made the mistake, I think, in my own life of thinking that this will just happen either by accident. One day I'll find myself more honest and less defended, or it will happen from some force of will in the midst of some situation. Is right now I'm going to somehow break through into the clearing and I'll be more honest and less defended because it's called for. And that rarely happens, at least in my experience, that these moments of grace where we find ourselves able to be brave enough and kind enough and true enough and open enough to one another also come from the practice and practice and practice of being curious and keeping on opening and noticing all the ways in which we hold back from it. So I'm feeling the nature of practice in our lives in this, as well as the sense that there's a kind of a moment that you're writing about where this can happen, where we find ourselves in this kind of relationship.
Yeah. Well, so I'm so grateful that there is a way that you've received this and understand it that is aligned with what's intended. Like, I think that's the cool thing, is that having an experience and writing about it and having this cultivation in life and then others knowing what it is that I'm trying to say feels like a very important human thing to be understood, to be heard, and that the interpretation of something aligns with the intention feels really welcome. And all of what you said is totally what this is about. And interestingly, the first paragraph is also about being with the parts of ourselves that are only able to be what they are because of what's happened. And that part of me that is ashamed has information that I can explore and I can understand better by being present to it rather than being had by it. And this act of becoming present to parts of ourselves or another person and their parts feels like it has a kind of spaciousness in it that is required to facilitate our non-defendedness. I.e., when I know that my shame is just a part of me and it's not all of me, inherent in that is that there's something else here apart from my shame. There is a presence that can be encountering the shame. And so to find that little small distance between my shame and me so that I can be with it and be more honest about it and less defended about it, i.e. doing less to stop that thing from coming forth, whatever that protective mechanism might be, it feels like that's a real possibility in the human life. And accepting that there is this either defense or protection or ashamedness or you know, 100 million other things that I can learn from rather than try and push away or deny or pretend isn't there, which results in all kinds of other things that go on in me. What if I can be present to it and be safe enough to encounter all of the ways that I'm having my life be the way that it is because of the stuff that I'm doing, and be different than my life is happening to me, oh dear, what a victim I am, but facing into what I'm up to with compassion and kindness and spaciousness that allows me to see rather than to be purely acting in protection or defense of whatever's there that needs protecting. And this takes real curiosity. And I think curiosity is born of presence to something. So as I sit here, Justin, and I'm present to you, however you're being with me, whatever you're saying, I can be practicing the cultivation of curiosity to really like wonder. I wonder what it's like to be Justin. I wonder what he might be thinking. I wonder. And to keep coming back to the wondering feels like something other than just my reaction to you gets born. And I think that's really what this is about. And I'm using you as an example, but it could be a part of me too. You know, I could be curious about the part of me that gets really defensive and independent and thinks I have to do everything myself because no one else around here is going to help me. And I'm actually all on my own trying to cope with this thing. Like if I could just take that in my hands here and be present to it, I could say, so defendedness, independence, what's happening? How come you're up to that? What's at stake if you don't do those things? And be really curious about what's happening so that I can learn more about what's going on with me. And with you, I could do the same. And feels like that kind of curiosity generates a whole different world, like different paths appear rather than the same old, same old, same old.
One of the things that's striking me about what you're saying, Lizzie, is it really helps us to see ourselves as many parts rather than as one thing. And at the same time as also of being one thing that maybe is stiller and more quiet and more deep and way more wide, against which, in which, I'm not even sure which way to say this, all the parts that we identify with show up.
Yes.
So that when, I mean, one of the things that's really familiar for me is feeling afraid or feeling ashamed to big, strong, experiences and orientations to the world I can have. And then imagining that I am that. I am afraid, and I am this afraid thing, which is just one part. And when I respond to you from my eye being identified with that, I'm afraid. Mostly I don't see any of the things that you're talking about, you've been talking about for a while. So I'm not curious, I'm protective. And I'm trying all the time to find out all the ways in which this is a dangerous situation and you're secretly out to get me but haven't said yet. That's what it is for me to be identified with being afraid. So this is this move that you're inviting, which is to know ourselves in a way deeper way that is so true of us, which is that we're never just that. Mm. And there's a way in which we always are this clearing that you're talking about, which is that to be human is to be ourselves and as an expression of our shared humanity is to be something way more mysterious.
Yeah.
And we got talking about this when we were talking about depth last week. Seems to me in a way we're on some similar territory here, and I found an amazing line from one of the Psalms just after we spoke, and the line is deep calls to deep.
Mm.
And in a way, I think what you're talking about being a clearing is also being the deep, mm. is knowing ourselves as the deep. But clearing brings a whole other angle, which I'm very grateful for in this conversation, because a clearing has the spaciousness in which we can start to be curious about the relationships between this and that. Oh, there's a part of me here that's really afraid, and there's a part of me that is the deep here, or is the clearing here. Mm. Actually, it's even the wrong language, and language is so tricky here, but there's a way in which we are already a vastness and an openness.
Yes.
And when we know ourselves that way, the openness that we are and the openness that other people are can be in relationship with one another.
I'm so loving the line is the deep calls the deep.
Mm.
And you know, sometimes it's hard to do this thing. And our personalities are strong.
Yes.
And they have cheeky means and dogged means and stubborn means to stay just the way that they are. And it's wholly and deeply understandable how come that would be that way, to not move, to not shift, to not let go of my point, you know. And this invitation to deepen, combined with what you said about this is always available, the deepening is always available, the deepening isn't, we don't make the deepening, the depth is there. We participate in a certain way that allows us to be present enough to experience ourselves as more depth. But it's not like the opportunity is not always presenting itself. And in a way, that's where the kind of the clearing narrative falls down, because you know, I'm imagining a clearing, like I'm walking along, I'm completely lost, and suddenly there's a clearing. It's like it's not that the clearing is only where the clearing is. It's like the clearing is here all the time. The invitation to be the clearing is presence, basically. It is in the present, every single moment of presence, which is every single moment, the possibility of the clearing presents itself. Whether we are present to it or blind to it or in denial that presence is even here, it is still here. And there is a faithfulness I experience in the deep calls to the deep. Is it calls to the deep?
Deep calls to deep is deep the translation deep. I saw, yeah.
You know, there is a faith in that for me, which is that presence is abundant, presence has what we might be asking for on a deep level, and you can trust it. That's what that says to me. It's like, I can trust that my depth will connect with depth, and that depth will connect with this depth. Like, you can trust that the depth has what's called for, and we can let go, and we can allow presence and depth to be what heals, what brings light to, what shows us the way, shows us something. And that for me takes a continual remindering faith. Remindering, I made up another word. A remindering faith, which is an active faith that keeps demonstrating to me that presence has so much to give, basically.
So as you've been speaking, I've been really appreciating how, I want to say it this way, those moments in my own practice, or you'll know this, Lizzie, but one of the practices I try to keep going with as much faithfulness as possible is a very simple sitting meditation practice of just sitting and being present too. And I know that this is part of your life and part of the life of many people that we know. And there are moments when I sit quietly, when I experience myself as I experience this depth or the clearing nature of things that you're talking about, where I'm not my anger or my sadness or my shame or my excitement or any of those things. I find out that I'm something else that really merits the kind of curiosity and open heart, and calls for the kind of curiosity and open heart that you're talking about. And sometimes when I'm sitting, I get a glimpse of that, and other times I'm just caught up in shame or fear or, you know, excitement or whatever it is. And the reason I'm saying it this way is that there's something very mysterious about it, but there's something very ordinary about this too, which is that to be a human being is already to be, it's our prior condition is to be this depth or this spaciousness. And we very easily lose contact with it in the midst of the patterns of our own personalities and all the kind of wounds that we have and all the ways that we have to defend ourselves from things. I was feeling appreciative of those moments in our lives where we find ourselves by grace in contact with this. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's because we put in lots of practice, and sometimes it comes upon us unawares. But probably the practice part of it is helpful because it gives us more of a chance of finding our way into this kind of spaciousness when it's called for. And I was thinking whilst you were speaking that it's also true that shame calls to shame, and fear calls to fear, and anger calls to anger, and hate to hate, and love to love. That when we find part of this dynamic that we get in with other people is that when we're too sure that we are this one very, very strong experience, it's really hard for others around us to be in contact with their depth and their spaciousness, and likewise in an ever self-reciprocating kind of pattern. We're all in this together.
Yeah. Well, I really love that bit about that you just said about the way that we're being, how it impacts the way others are able to be with us. As in, if I'm pushing away and defended the whole time, that in itself is the invitation of how to be with me.
Absolutely. Or if I'm holding back from saying something that's really important and true about my relationship with you, and I'm not bringing it in because I'm afraid of how you'll see me, then you can feel that that's the invitation here as well. And very quickly we're both doing it, and then I can feel that that's what you're inviting is,
yeah,
tentativeness and holding back.
Yeah.
The move of, so it, one of the possibilities that your poem invites is this, sometimes very scary or not always pleasant possibility that I might actually bring myself fully into relationship with you.
Mm.
And how often what happens is, although that it's frightening or uncertain or not exactly what I'm wanting, how I'm wanting to feel, it brings us into, there's an intimacy in being the clearing with one another, or being in a clearing with one another, that's not possible when we're crashing through in our tiny spaces inside the forest.
Yeah.
And we think it will keep us safe to stay in this smaller space, because it feels so, so risky for me to say to you, well, either to say to you, I love you, or I'm frightened when you say this, or I'm hurt at this, whatever it is that's true. So there's something that I'm seeing from our conversation that has to do with truthfulness or faithfulness to what seems true, what's called for, that breaks us out of our narrowness and is really, really hard for us to do, because we get frightened that to be in the clearing will be to lose everything.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm also feeling like if there's a way we can cultivate of being together, that really does give permission for anything to be said that wants to be said. And that we're not saying, well, that's acceptable and this isn't acceptable. So you can be nice, but you can't be angry. You can please people, but you can't be a disruptor. You know, if we're saying, look, in our field, whatever wants to be said is able to be said, because we're cultivating a deeper kind of relationship with one another than just our pinging backwards and forwards personalities. If that's possible in a field, in an organization, in a family, in a partnership, then it feels like it can be really truthful. And that feels like bringing everything to the center and knowing it's okay, whatever's in the center is really fine, because it's held within the wholeness, if you like. So all we're doing is bringing parts to within a wholeness that exists, regardless of whether or not we're feeling cross or pissed off or angry or betrayed or whatever, that we can cultivate the contact with that wholeness allows more and more and more to be present in the center without it meaning we have to break.
There's something to be said about this that I think is probably too complicated to say, and I'm going to do my best, which is, you know, if you and I are talking as easy as we are now, and if I, at every move, the move to being a clearing with one another, or to being depth with one another, involves getting onto and giving up all the ways in which we're trying to have the conversation go a particular way. So if I feel like, well, I'm going to be really honest here and say to you anything, this is what happens from being in relationship with you. And then the moment that I feel like, you feel like you have to say something back to me in response to my honesty that will have me feel better or have you feel better, it's so easy to get thrown back into the sort of hall of mirrors that is us each trying to have this conversation be the one that the parts of us will accept and the parts of you will accept, rather than saying,
yes,
here we are with all of this. And me being able to say, this hurts me to say this or to hear this. That's part of it.
Yeah.
Or I'm so touched that you said this, or just I'm listening to what you're saying. Anyway, it's tricky to talk about in one way, because this way that we have of dancing around one another keeps on crashing back in at every moment, and it can be very hard to spot.
Yeah. Or I know you're not going to like this and I'm going to say it anyway. Or I know that I'm not going to like saying this because I'm not playing my part in the dynamic, and yet it feels like I have to do this. You know, that kind of depth of I would call it integrity, like, you know, integratedness that has me say what's here to be said, knowing that it might be hard, knowing that it might be not what's needed or what's wanted, but that that's not the point.
Yes.
Something being born that needs to be born because I can see it or have it to say. That feels like that's the most undefended, is to be not so caught up in the Hall of Mirrors as to not speak or to not act.
So I'm really, really glad that you just said integrity. Because I think, for me at least, one way of knowing that I'm standing in this place is that I know myself as integrity, or I know my own. I can feel integrity being present. Mm. There are so many times when I'm in a conversation that I know that's not how it feels, or I know afterwards that wasn't integrity, that was being afraid, or trying to not have you react in a particular way, or trying to have you like me, or trying to have me like me, or you know, all of those kind of things. And integrity feels really different, and it's an important distinction. I wanted to just pick it up because it's an important distinction, because one way of understanding what we're saying, the way we've gone with talking about a clearing, is that it's like it's a harsh place. A clearing is where I'm going to get to say to you exactly what I've been thinking all along, and I haven't been saying, and I'm going to say it all in one go because it's a clearing, and
yeah.
Now I'm going to be truthful with you, and whatever happens, happens. And I don't think that is at all what we mean here.
No.
And integrity is a different way of coming at it. It's that relationship to ourselves and to others and to life where we can feel it contactful with our own integrity and the integrity of the situation, and then we can speak.
Mm.
And then it doesn't have to have this apparent split between kindness and harshness, for example, that at least seem to me can kind of creep into this way of talking about. It's either going to be kind, in which case it's tiny, or it's going to be harsh, in which case it's real.
Mm.
No, it's either fragmented.
Mm.
We're identifying with parts or keeping parts out, or being sort of had by parts, or we're finding a kind of integrity in our own contact with ourselves and our speaking with one another.
Mm. So I'm looking at the clock, Justin, and thinking this is a great little place to finish. And this has been a wonderful, cool experience of like, oh, this is the conversation that gets born out of a moment of seeing something and writing it down. Thank you, Justin, for teasing the beauty out with me.
Such a pleasure. Well, thank you for writing. It's a wonderful thing to be in this conversation. So we're going to end. I want to say thank you to everyone for being with us.
Yeah.
And we'll see you next week.
Bye, thanks.